Okay, well, we're going to revisit announcements later. How does that sound? Let us turn our hearts and minds to the worship of God.
Morning. Please stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise God's name. Serve God and give praise, all who dwell in the house of the Lord. The Lord is good. We will sing his holy name. The Lord has chosen us as his own. Your name, O God, endures forever, and your love for you never cease. Let us worship God together. Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you have called us to be your people at this time and in this place. May our worship of you be faithful. May our minds be open to your holy scripture. May our hearts be open to the urgings of your Holy Spirit. As we humbly come before you, wash away everything that comes between us, that we would be united in love and honesty. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Join me in the prayer to confession of confession. Lord of might, you call us to be a faithful and righteous people, but we let things come in the way. We rely on our own wisdom and wealth. We let our vanity get in the way of serving you, and we let others come between us as well. We choose family over faith. We choose political leaders over your true leadership. At a time that is so divisive in our country and in our world, help us to remember that we are here to build up your kingdom through acts of faith and service. Forgive us when we forget that. We come to your learned truth, but then we break your holy commandments. Give us the courage and strength to stand for what is right in a world that thrives on hate and fear. Above all, may we be faithful to you and to your holy way. Amen.
This is one of those times where I need your forgiveness. So, sorry about that. Friends, it doesn't matter how much we've sinned. It doesn't matter what the sin is, for our God loves us more than anything we could do. It is written in Scripture that there is nothing. There is nothing, nothing past or present, nothing of this world or of the next that can come between us and the love of Jesus Christ. My friends, in the name of our Lord and Savior, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God, and amen. Just as our Lord and Savior shares his peace with each of us, let us in turn share that peace with one another. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Thank you.
Our first scripture reading today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is about to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. Just as he, Jesus, was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all of these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are the first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the word of the Lord. Okay, help me out. When I say, "It is so hard," I want you to say, "How hard is it?" Okay? It is so hard.
How hard is it?
It's so hard, it's impossible. We might as well give up right now. It is impossible for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. We know this to be true. Sometimes I can barely get the thread through the eye of the needle, but I think that has more to do with my eyesight than the needle size. But it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The only thing I've ever seen be able to pass through a smaller place is my incredibly fat cat. He can somehow suck it all in to get into rooms, under beds, all kinds of smaller places than he should be able to fit into. We don't call him fat to his face. We just say that he's easy to see. But camels can't do this. This is so hard, it's impossible. Oh, yeah, sorry, not that one. Sorry. Y'all, don't tell Robert about any of this, okay? I can hear you now. Elizabeth, you say Jesus spoke in metaphors, so we're okay. Sure, Jesus did speak in metaphors, but why do we think this is one of them? This is not a parable. Why do we assume that the hard passages are metaphorical? Because it's easier for us to swallow? It's easy for us to go to metaphor because if it is literal, we are in trouble. If we take this text on its face value, it is terrifying. Jesus is walking down the road, and a man comes up to him and says, "What do I need to do to go to heaven?" All right, we're going to stop right there. That should have given you a little tingle up your spine as it smacks of works righteousness. And we don't do that. We don't do good works and follow the commandments so that we can work our way into eternal life. But we do good things because our God, the only one who is good, loves us so much. We give and serve out of the overflow of God's love in our hearts. Now hold on to that, because we're going to circle back in a little bit. So a man comes up to Jesus and says, "What do I need to do to get into heaven?" Jesus says to him, "You know the commandments, don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, etc., etc. I've been doing that all my life. I'm so good at it." I hear him say it with a little bit of pride in his voice. "Great," Jesus says, "one more thing. Sell your possessions. Sell your stuff and give the money to the poor." We're good with the text up to this point. Ten Commandments, we are in. Those are great. But the selling of possessions, that's another story. Because I bet most of us have a few things. We have homes, we have stuff. If you're like me, you have a purse problem. And I don't want to get rid of my purse. The one today is super cute, y'all. I'll show it to you after church if you want to see it. I don't want to get rid of my shoes, my TV, my books. I like having stuff. I'd wager that most of us do. Except Jesus doesn't say, get rid of everything except. He says, sell your possessions, period. Yikes. Okay, here's your magic time. Let's remember the beginning. It is so hard.
How hard is it?
Perfect. It's so hard I got to this point in the sermon and I got stuck. So let's all feel sorry for me. Oh, there we go. Y'all are so interactive. It's so difficult to do this, I might as well give up, right? Well, if we were to give up on all the difficult texts from the Bible, we would have very little left over indeed. It doesn't matter how hard this is, we have to push through. You know, I read one commentary on this text that offended me a little bit. It says that the best we can do is manage the text. We should look at all the excuses that people have made to get around this story and just kind of explain those away without giving any other thoughts or ideas. But that doesn't seem fair to the text either. That doesn't seem fair to our faith in Jesus Christ. But where do we go from here? What do we do when we very definitely do not want to follow the command of God? Let's go back to the beginning one more time. A man ran up to Jesus and knelt before him. He was in a posture of humility, of worship. Are we humble when we approach this text? Or do we bristle at it before we even get started? It is out of this posture, out of this place in his heart that he says, "Good teacher." This man is making a confession as to who Jesus is at a time when some of the disciples still don't get it. So this man comes with humility, worship, and confession. And it's from this point that we have to approach the rest of the text. What must I do? What's my part? What should my life look like? Maybe it isn't about works righteousness at all, but maybe it's about how we serve God. Because if we approach with truly humble hearts, we know we can't do anything on our own. In one of his many writings, Calvin talks about the knowledge of God, knowledge of self ellipse. The idea is the more we know about who God is, the more we know about who we are. And the more we know about who we are, the more we learn about who God is and how we aren't God. Through our lives, we just keep moving around the ellipse, learning more about God and more about ourselves, seeking to draw closer. So maybe this man got it years before Calvin did. Maybe this man is seeking to draw closer to God. And that's all any of us are doing, really. We seek to be closer to the person God has made us to be. Not because we can do it without God, but because that's what God's love is pulling out of us every day. It's that sanctification thing, being made more holy every single day. What do I need to do? What should my life look like? You know the commandments, follow them. I'm already doing that. There has to be something else. Do we hear ourselves there? We're already following the Ten Commandments. What's next? And now here's the next big thing in the text, probably the biggest. And then looking at him, Jesus loved him. The command that the man and we are about to get does not come out of a place of anger or frustration, but it comes out of love. It's not about Jesus being out to get us and saying, well, if I'm poor, you have to be poor too. This is Jesus saying, I love you. I love you. And out of this love, out of the overflow of the love I give you, what do you need to get rid of? This man gave his answer and walked away sad, and it is heartbreaking when you tell God no. But the question is, how are we going to respond? If the story begins with the man as a model of humility, worship, and confession, if we follow this example and approach the text with the same attitude, in all humility and truth, we have to hear the words of Christ. Give up your possessions, sell them, and give to the poor, and then you will be following me. In humility, acknowledging who God is and how short we fall, in true worship, when we offer all we have and all we are, why do we think our stuff would be safe and out of God's grasp? Okay, when Robert comes back, there's a lot of things I'm telling you not to tell him. Don't tell him I told you to be socialists. I don't like that label because it has so many political undertones and overtones and it's been manipulated. I'm not telling you to be socialists. I'm telling you to follow God's will. When Jesus looks at us and loves us, which is every day, we are to live and serve out of the overflow of God's love every day. And if God loves us, why would we think God doesn't love the poor? We are the people of God, not the person of God, and we are here to care for one another. So when I have too much, which I do, it is my job to share with those who don't have enough, and then the kingdom comes near. And isn't that the goal? To help usher in the kingdom of heaven for one another? True confession time. I'm not going to go home and list my purses to sell online. It's not because I can't do it, it's because I don't want to. I hear the words of Jesus, and I know I should, but I know I'm not going to. My purses, as ridiculous, I know how stupid this is as I say it, but as ridiculous as this is, there's something I take pride in. I'm proud of how cute they are and of the brand names, and this comes between me and God, and I recognize it, and I know it is a place where my heart needs to change, and I am honestly working at it. But what do you need to work on? What stuff comes between you and Jesus Christ? Where is your humility cheapened because you can't fully give everything to God? Where do we kind of confess that Jesus is the good teacher, but still hold on to the things we tell ourselves are true and better than God's word? I say this with all honesty and sincerity. I need to work on my love of purses. And I'm afraid that it means I will be called to give some up and give more money to the church. And that's a little scary, to have something that you have worked to build up be unbuilt. But it's not because I have to. It's because Jesus loves me. And that's the hardest part. So what do you need to work on? What is coming between you and the kingdom? What do you need to give up so the poor can have something at all? What do you need to work on? Thanks be to God, and amen. Amen.
Please join me in the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
Hi, I'm Camilla Ballard. My husband Bill and I are new members of the church we joined this spring. I'm an even newer member of the Christian Education Committee. At my very first meeting, my Mary Poppins, Liz Branch, sent out a notice to all the members and said, "Bring your new ideas to the meeting tomorrow." I'm a retired Christian educator. I wrote down a page and a half single space. And came to the meeting, and dang, that committee, they were so gracious. They listened to everything so nicely, but the one that I think that most caught their attention, and one of the ones I was most excited about, is the night before, I just had this picture drop into my head of Robert dressed as Fred Flintstone in a gay pride parade. And I didn't know how Robert would feel about this, and I didn't know that Robert attended all the CE meetings, and I knew there had just been a pride parade in Soma, so I thought I'd missed it. So I shared this idea. I said, you know, maybe next year, do you think we could get Robert to dress as Fred Flintstone? Robert, would you be interested? Robert got so excited, he nearly levitated. But they were like, okay, so, but why is Robert dressing as Fred Flintstone? I'm like, oh, well, we'll dress a lot of people like people from there, and we'll create a set, and we'll put it on a flatbed truck, and we'll have a big sign out front that says, Westover Hills Presbyterian Church. And then on the side, we'll have people carrying signs that will say, we'll have a gay old time. And then if there are three more people that want to walk, I want to create sandwich boards that say yabba, dabba, do, and people can walk behind the float in that. And then if there are grandchildren that want to be part of it, I'm going to get little wagons, and we're going to get blow-up dinos, and we're going to duct tape his butt and put it in the bottom of the wagon so it won't fall, and they can follow. Well, trust me, it's visionary, but I didn't know y'all. Y'all don't know me. It's a little too soon to go that all in. And nobody had to tell me that. I eventually realized that. But let me tell you, Robert was committed to being Fred. And Brian was committed to costuming. So, you know, maybe another year. Because if you don't think I have 10 years of these plans in my head, because if the Fred Flintstone had pulled off Whitney, what I have planned for you year two is Judy Garland. You have no idea. Anyway, I say all this to say, instead of all that, if you were here last week, you know that we're just going to be supporting the Queer Collective in the parade this coming Saturday, which I think is great. If my parents knew I was supporting the Queer Collective, thank God they're in heaven, so they understand now. But so we're going to meet at the U.S. Bank at Main and Broadway. That's in North Little Rock next Saturday at 11 a.m. The parade is at 12. And there's going to be a couple of trucks, and if you can't walk worth spit like me, there's going to be some secure benches, Marie told me, in the trucks, and you can ride in that. And she just said wear something colorful. But if you just can't decide what to wear, I have several fascinators and some tiaras left over from my King Charles coronation party, and I'll bring them, you know, and anybody wants to wear them can wear them. And then next year, you know, maybe we don't build a thing. Maybe we just costume the wazoo out of it. It's a thought. I'm working on it. Anyway, so the fabulous, gorgeous man in the very back there in the pink polo shirt, that's my husband, Bill. And I'll go back around and be sitting with him, and I'll have a clipboard. So if you want to sign up to just be in the parade, just come sign my clipboard, or hell, just show up on Saturday. Thank you.
You know, Whitney walked me through all this before church started, too. So, friends, we give not because we have to. We give because we are able to. We give out of the overflow of God's love, if it is from the best 10% we have or the only 10% we have. Friends, we give to God the gifts of God. Please join me in prayer. Holy God of all there is, may we approach you in a spirit of humility, worship, and confession. May our prayers rise to you like a pleasing fragrance, and may you hear the words of our hearts with gladness. God, we know that there are many things that come between us and you. Tear down walls, destroy that which would separate, and let us live as Christ did, perfectly in line with your will. Loving Christ, that you came that we might have life and have it abundantly, show us the path of your goodness and righteousness, and help us walk that path all the days of our lives. Open our eyes to the pain of this world, to war and violence, to hunger and homelessness, to sorrow and loneliness. Help us to be your hands and feet, that all the world would know of your love and the blessed wholeness that comes in your name. Ever-present Spirit, open our hearts that we would follow where you lead us. Prod us, either with feathers or with two-by-fours. Push us and pull us into the places you desire for us to be, the places you know where we are called to be, in your loving and majestic name. Pray today for all who are suffering, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We lift them up in the silence of our hearts. We pray for all those in positions of power, political, religious, social, financial. May the people we place in these positions be worthy of them. May they seek to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with you. We pray for the Holy Church. May she be a light in a world of deep sadness. May she speak truth to power that goes too often unchecked. May she live boldly and follow faithfully. We also pray for those needs and persons who are not spoken aloud but are forever known to you. We pray these things in the name of the one who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I have had a wonderful time worshiping with you all this morning. Just don't get me in trouble, and maybe I can come back. But thank you very much for singing one of my favorite hymns just now, the idea that Christ surrounds us, not just me and not just you, but all of us. The idea that the people that hear our voices hear Christ, the idea that we can do the same for one another. And it's not just us. It's everyone. So friends, let us go into the world ready to love all those who God loves, ready to serve all those who Christ calls us to serve, ready to live as the people that God has made us to be. Go in peace. Amen.